Have I got a show for you today? If you think we are victims and without any ability to stop what proponents for one world government seek to accomplish, this show will convince you otherwise. Hello and welcome to this podcast known as Faith to Live By, where each week I help us explore current events so we, as God's children, can know how He wants us to respond. I'm Pam Christian, the researcher, writer, producer, and host of this show, serving as your truth advocate. I'm pleased to be among those who are called truthers, who are part of the alternative media helping people learn the truth that mainstream media refuses to provide because they are part of the deep state shadow governments who want to establish a one world government. And as you learn what's been going on and you speak out against it, your voice makes a huge difference. It's true. And my guest today, James Rogoski, provides us yet another example of what we can and must do, how we can speak out against what's going on or lose our personal rights and freedoms because we stayed silent. For a long time, James was the only whistleblower on the World Health Organization's efforts, but largely because of him, more people are waking up. I recently read an article published by Epoch Times about the efforts of the World Health Organization to impose upon our individual freedoms. You'll find a link in the show notes. The multi-ring world circus of tragic events is by design. It's the enemy's effort to keep God's people perplexed and in fear and immobile. Notice how events in the Middle East are ramping up with Iran, Lebanon, and Syria coming to the forefront and revealing their true colors. Notice also how Germany and France are weighing in now, believing this is their time for political power gain. Also, watch what goes on with Ukraine and Russia and Canada in the days to come, with the understanding that these events are orchestrated by proponents of a one-world government that is not of God. Notice how the United Nations is trying to do damage control since the Israeli Defense Forces discovered a network of Hamas tunnels extending partly under the United Nations Relief and Work Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East, otherwise known as UNWAR, which exposes the United Nations for the anti-Semite organization it truly is. The exposure of the evil doings of the United Nations should be no surprise to my listeners, as we've been learning from Alex Newman, a highly respected Christian conservative journalist with vast experience in many areas, including the United Nations. And I'm pleased to say I'll be on his show, The Sentinel Report, a leading national television show, in the next few weeks. I'll be sure to let you know because I really want you to pop on over there and watch in support. I much prefer audio only instead of television. In addition to Alex Newman, my guest today, James Rogoski, has helped us to understand how the United Nations further seeks global control through the World Health Organization. More people today than ever are aware that the 2020 plandemic was an effort of proponents for a one-world government that further empowered the World Health Organization to potentially enslave the people of the world under their global policies. James was last on my program in January with episode 184 to explain how the World Health Organization is subject to its own operational policies, yet the World Health Organization has publicly stated they are unlikely to meet their own required deadlines. I suspect this is by design because it would prevent the nations from voicing any objections to the advancement of the World Health Organization's legally binding criteria. Listen now to another exceptionally helpful explanation of what the World Health Organization is doing and what we can and must do to prevent it. Here's my time with James Rogoski now. James Rogoski, I am so glad to have you back. I know my audience members who've listened to prior programs have been expecting you to come back because of some deadlines that the World Health Organization has stated that they were supposed to honor. And last you were on, you were saying that they had admitted publicly that they probably would not be meeting their own deadlines. So give us the latest and let us understand what it means to us.
Well, first and foremost, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity. Everyone who may or may not know what's going on with the WHO would benefit, I think, from just a simple understanding that they're doing a couple of things at the same time. And those two things have often been mixed up and confused. So we'll take one of them at a time. They are trying to negotiate changes to international law. Now, one of the things that they're doing is trying to propose amendments to an existing international law called the International Health Regulations. And that's what you were referring to. We've been talking about this for quite some time. And the rule that they have, it's Article 55 in the regulations, is that if any nation wants to make some changes, they can do so, but they have to do so 4 months in advance of the May Assembly, which is May 27th. Well, 4 months in advance of that has already passed. That was January 27th. And they have not given us a look at any amendments that they would hope to adopt in May. And, you know, by a strict reading of Article 55, they missed their deadline. And they should not be allowed to even consider amendments to the international health regulations in May. Well, as we talked last time, they said back in October that they were not going to meet their January 27th deadline, and they certainly didn't. They had meetings the first week of February, and then they have scheduled more meetings throughout the remainder of the next couple of months, obviously in violation of Article 55, which says you got to give us 4 months' notice. Now, they've done this before. They're doing it again. I have, you know, the belief that people need to just realize that this is the way the WHO operates. Rules for thee, but not for them, okay? Now, that's not really the hot news topic of the moment, believe it or not, even though that is very, very important. What's going on there is just flat out secrecy. The news is that they are currently negotiating on the other track for a new treaty. Now, that's not really the proper name. It's really something called a framework convention. But just a little while ago, I gained access to the most current version of those negotiated documents. They have a long involved name for it, so I'll just read that for you. It's the Proposal for Negotiating Text of the WHO Pandemic Agreement. And to summarize it for everyone, it is absolutely not about your health. The reason these negotiations are even happening is because the relatively poorer nations of the world back in the end of 2021, they were having difficulty getting contracts for things like ventilators and midazolam and remdesivir and certainly all of the many jabs that are on the market. And they felt that they were being treated unfairly because the wealthy nations were buying up all that wonderful stuff. And I'm obviously being facetious, but I'm being serious in the sense that they called upon the WHO to organize negotiations for the amendments and for a new agreement. And the goal is to end up with what they refer to, these are their words, equitable access to pandemic-related products. Now, if you look at the information that I'm about to talk about from the point of view of a venture capital business deal that's designed to take public and private money and throw it at the pharmaceutical industry the way they've been doing for the last 4 years, but primarily take money from the global north, which is kind of defined as the wealthier nations, and build out infrastructure for what I call the pharmaceutical hospital emergency industrial complex in the global south, that's the simplest summary of what they're trying to negotiate. Now, you can get all of this information on stopthetreaty.org, but I'll give you a quick overview of the different aspects of what they're negotiating. And I think you'll see that it's not about health. It's about throwing money at an industry sector that is enormously profitable. They want to set up a framework convention, which would set up a new bureaucracy that would meet on a yearly basis, essentially to hand out contracts to, you know, buy up all kinds of pandemic-related products to put in their warehouses in preparation for what might be coming. They're talking about $30 billion a year and a massive $100 billion surge funding capacity. Where they're going to find that money remains to be seen. They haven't really detailed where it's coming from. The most important aspect of it is the most contentious. And to me, what I'm about to describe sounds a lot like biological weapons research. They want to set up what they call a pathogen access and benefit sharing system. They want to pay people to go out and look through the world for pathogens with pandemic potential. That's their terminology. Now, that could be something that is on a swab that gets stuck up somebody's nose, or maybe a stool sample when you take your companion animal to the veterinarian, or if you have a chicken coop or pigs or cows or goats or horses or anything on a farm. Wherever there's manure, there are pathogens. They do surveillance of wastewater, septic systems, even the black water that comes off of airplanes on international travel. They're looking everywhere, you know, probably including the local bat cave, to see if they can find a pathogen with pandemic potential. They want to bring it into the WHO coordinated laboratory network, oversee gain of function research. I mean, that's literally in Article 24. They want to have a science committee to oversee gain of function. They want to speed up the regulatory approval of drugs and have control over a global supply chain and logistics network. Tedros Ghebreyesus, the director general, gave a talk the other day at the World Governments Summit, and he let out a very well-known fact that they have a distribution center in Dubai that is 20,000 square meters. Now, if you could imagine how big that might be, but then imagine how big the contracts would need to be to fill that distribution center with pandemic-related products, you get an idea of the scale of what I honestly believe is organized crime to just milk the nations of money and get donations from foundations and funnel that all into big pharma to prepare for the next pathogen that they're going out looking for to bring into the lab to do experiments with. The insanity of all of this is maybe only exceeded by the greed, where it's not one side is good and one side is bad. It's that the smaller nations are upset at what happened when South Africa and Botswana identified what came to be known as the Omicron variant. They did what they were obligated to do under the current regulations, and they told the world, you know, the information about the genetics of what they found. And rather than being thanked for that honesty, they were greeted with travel restrictions. And then they watched as Pfizer and Moderna took that information and turned it into boosters and made a couple of more billion dollars. So while this is outrageously detailed and confusing, the pathogen access and benefit sharing system is essentially, if you can go out and find a scary pathogen and you share that information, you give access, pathogen access, then the benefits, which is essentially profits and money, will be shared. And so what the nations that are calling for this want is intellectual property, manufacturing know-how, investment capital. They want to build out the pharmaceutical industry in their country so that they can control that and profit from it. Now, none of this has got anything to do with, well, wait a minute, what just happened over the last 4 or 5 years? You know, are they looking at what worked, what didn't work? You know, what mistakes were made, what crimes were committed, what rights and freedoms were abused, you know, what could they do better? No, the lessons that they've learned is that from a profitability standpoint, it worked wonders over the last 4 years. And they're not just doubling down. They want to increase their capability to do that by an order of magnitude, because they, you know, a lot of people in the relatively poor nations, low and middle income countries, they didn't get as many jabs. And so there's a market there that they're trying to capture. They want to get money from the wealthy nations and invest in the low and middle income nations to build out the industry that essentially, in my point of view, sells poisons and biological weapons under the guise of those things are going to make people healthier as a means of preventing the next pandemic. You want to build a laboratory network and give every nation, you know, the equivalent of a Wuhan Institute of Virology to prevent the next pandemic. I have every faith in the world that the people who are listening to us now can go to stopthetreaty.org and read the document for themselves. I'll warn you, chapter one might give you diabetes because it's just so filled with sweetness. It's a lot of wonderful propaganda about sovereignty and human rights and transparency and equity and inclusivity and so forth and so on. Don't stop there. Make sure you read chapter two, all of the articles that talk about the financial deals that they want to do. But most importantly, read chapter three, because that lays out the new bureaucracy that they would like to create, very similar to the Framework Convention for Climate Change, where it's just an open-ended agreement. It's a framework. And every year, representatives, they refer to it as the governing body of the pandemic agreement. They would meet in Geneva and decide where all the contracts are going to go and whatever their plan is for the next year. And we, the people, are disassociated from that. We don't elect them. They're not accountable to us. And if you've wondered why all of the crazy things that are going on with climate change and energy and 15-minute cities and all those sort of things, well, when you agree to put unknown bureaucrats in charge of making decisions to fill in the details of a wide open framework convention, some crazy things can happen. And, you know, they're trying to do something very similar under the guise of a framework convention for pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response. And, you know, I'll just give an opinion. I don't think that they are doing that for your benefit or my benefit. I don't think it's about health. I think it's a transfer, or it's an attempt at a transfer at wealth. And let me ask you a question. I don't often get to do that. Are you even remotely familiar with a 10-year-old thing called the Trans-Pacific Partnership? Okay.
I would say no.
10 years ago or so, something very similar happened. It was abbreviated the TPP, or the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The Obama administration negotiated in secret and agreed to, I believe Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State when a lot of this was going on, agreed to a trade deal with the nations that line the Pacific Ocean, thus Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Okay, you are ringing a bell here. Okay. I'm starting to remember.
Once it was already signed and we the people learned what they were agreeing to, let's just say a ruckus ensued. And it was the power of the people who dug in to comprehend that they were giving all kinds of power to corporations. And it became such a toxic topic that politicians could not support it, because they knew that so many people knew what was going on. And, you know, it's very simple. You only need two letters, N and O. No, when we the people say no in enough, you know, numbers and, you know, strongly enough that they get the idea, it's a simple concept. No means no. no one in the Senate could stand up in support of it. And it just was dead in the water. There was no way they were ever going to get support. And the final nail in the coffin, when Donald Trump became president, he unsigned it. Well, we're actually in a little bit stronger position right now because we're able to see what they're attempting to negotiate before. See, they're still fighting amongst themselves. And so they have not finished the process. They're arguing over intellectual property and you know, all of the different things. Everybody wants a piece of the pie. I encourage everyone to just read the document. It is a doable thing. Once you get over the hurdle of the terminology and the new things, and you realize that this is not about your health, this is about people in big pharma trying to divert billions of dollars in their direction at your expense. The vast majority of people, I mean, unless you're on the receiving end of some of those contracts, the average man or woman is going to look at this and just go, no, this is wrong. This is corrupt. This is, quite frankly, organized crime used to find pathogens to terrorize people with, to frighten them into getting their government to hand over billions of dollars to the industry that, you know, has caused more harm than has ever benefited us. And so, long story short, please take the time to look into this. Understand what it is. I make myself available. Anybody who wants to can call me if they have any questions. My number is 310-619-3055. The information is all on stopthetreaty.org. If you accidentally go to stopthetreaty.com, you'll get another group and they're doing good work as well. But if you want the details of the latest version, go to stopthetreaty.org, read what is going on, and share, you know, that information, share this video with everybody, or I should say audio with everybody you know. And I have every faith that we the people can stand up and call this for what it is. It's not about health. It's an attempt to transfer even more wealth from, you know, roughly stated, from you to them. And I'm not having it. And I doubt that most people are going to allow this to be accepted without quite the battle. And I absolutely believe that it's a battle we're going to win.
I think we can too, James. And we would not be able to if it weren't people like you. And you were a lone ranger for a long time on this whole topic, but you've been quite effective and more people are awakening up to this reality. You want us to read the document. You want us to share the document. You want us to share podcasts such as mine to increase awareness. But beyond that, where do we say?
Well,
no?
You know, there's an election coming up and everyone can ask anyone running for office. And I would like to suggest a detailed way of doing this. If and when you look through the document and you read some aspect of it, and I've taken excerpts out and I've tried to make it easy for people to get into the meat of it, take any paragraph or any sentence and print it out, and everyone pretty much has the capability to do a short little 2-minute video where you show the words that are coming from their document. So they can't accuse you of misinformation. Show the world the missing information or the information that everybody's been missing by photographing or videotaping a page or a segment of a page that you've highlighted, and then give your opinion about it, whatever your opinion might be. Do a little 2-minute video, put it up on, you know, whatever platform you want, and maybe yours will be the one that resonates with other people. Say whatever it is you want to say. We're not going to be able to count on the media or even the alternative media. I encourage everybody to become the media. You have the capability to express your opinion, but stick to the facts. Take a photograph or a video of the words that they are proposing. Give your opinion about it and share it with everybody you want, because the way they operate, they tell us what they're doing. They don't make it easy to find, but they do. And our silence is viewed as consent. So the worst thing in the world you right. could do right now is, you know, go into a snooze and lay back on the couch and remain silent. Now is the time to speak right. your mind, give your opinion, comment intelligently on the facts. And if you have any questions about any of it, give me a call. I want people to get it straight, not straight from me, but straight from their documents. And it's kind of like a swarm of bees, you know, they can't stop all of us. There's no way, especially if we're speaking the truth from our heart.
And, you know, I want to point out, James, that exactly what you are saying is the course of action is what has happened since about mid-2020, when people began waking up to the fact that COVID-19 was manufactured, we've been lied to, we're being controlled, and people took to alternative media to get the word out. And we are asserting pressure. We are having success. So for those who say, hey, I don't want to be in front of the camera, or I don't know how to use a microphone, get a hold of people like me and share your point of view with me. Let me broadcast that for you. Let me publicize it for you. There are a lot of ways we can do this, but it's not just a matter of increasing awareness, but exposing what's going on. And the best way we can do that in these days of technology is through various media. James, I want to thank you so much. And I know I'll have you back as things progress, because you said, what, they've got another meeting that they're planning in a couple of months?
Well, you know, the reality is they never stop, and we have to be persistent in our awareness of what they're doing. Their deadline is May. I think that they are having internal squabbles because greed on one side is doing battle with greed on the other. It's not usually the case that two wrongs make a right. But because they are divided, I think we can conquer and stop them from doing what they're trying to do to us.
Very good. Thank you once again, James. I'll have you back on the program in a couple of months so we can find out what happened in the month of May.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you heard what James had to share and what he recommends we do, which I fully endorse. Here's my list of James' recommendations for your call to action. Number one, share this podcast with anyone and everyone you can, by all means you can. Number two, visit stopthetreaty.org to see the actual World Health Organization documents. Number three, share the actual plans of the World Health Organization by copying or printing what you think are key points that you want to help expose. And number four, use your social media to alert others to the evil efforts of the World Health Organization working as an arm of the United Nations and the globalists. Remember, our silence is considered consent. Understand what James explained. They are actually creating more organized crime by empowering Big Pharma with an open-ended framework. The governing body of the pandemic treatment, who are not elected by us or even directly accountable to us, want to enslave us. Take encouragement from the Trans-Pacific Partnership effort James explained. The people of the world spoke up loud enough and long enough then that they could not go through with their plans. Well, we have that same opportunity today on what I believe is an even greater potential for evil against all the people of the world. And I have two other examples that should encourage you to take action. First, we recently learned how the major banks are fleeing from involvement with the Climate Change Coalition. Why is that? Well, because they see major legal battles ahead. We the people are making a difference. Second, a report was given that the federal government has spent $8.5 million to produce podcasts. What does this mean? Well, it means that there's great power in our alternative media, and the government is running scared. So no matter where you live in this world, the internet is accessible and has a worldwide reach. Mainstream media is owned by the globalists. We the people have become the alternative and trusted media. In America, our government was established to be for and by the people. Now, worldwide, we have a chance to see righteousness and truth prevail, for our God-given rights and freedoms to be upheld. Today, we the people of the world are the media, and we must not fail in what we can do in partnership with God. Next week, I plan on having Pastor David Scarlett, who was well-connected with various military generals, with an insider's understanding of much of what's happening, who will share what he can to help further encourage us in these unprecedented times. You know, I said last week, I have always hated the model of traditional news that simply reports the bad events, leaving us to process the information. Well, this is why the model for this podcast is for us to know the truth about evil and to be put on the path of actually partnering with God to see His kingdom will done on earth as it is in heaven. I'll expect to have you join me again next week. You know, I really do put my heart and soul into these podcasts, wanting very much for you to know the truth and find the strength of faith you need in these dark days. And so I ask, won't you shoot me an email letting me know how this podcast impacts you? My email is faithtoliveby@pamelachristianministries.com. I truly welcome your communication. If you like what you hear from me with this podcast, I highly recommend my book series, my award-winning blog, and connecting with me on social media, where I can cover many more topics than I can with this weekly podcast. And consider signing up for my online certificate course in apologetics. My aim with that course is to help people learn not only how to use apologetics to share truth with others, but help Christian leaders incorporate apologetics in their respective ministries so many more Christians are confident about their faith and better able to share it. Learn more using the link in the show notes. Should you have a topic you want me to explore with this podcast, please simply let me know. Again, my email is faithtoliveby@pamelachristianministries.com. If this podcast blesses you, and I certainly hope it does, because you are the reason I work as hard as I do, would you consider partnering with me in my vision? You know that my whole goal is to help people discover and live in life-giving truth and to experience all the hope truth provides. You can, and I hope you do, personally share your faith with others. But have you thought about how many more people you could reach by partnering with me? Help me grow this podcast, get my books into more people's hands, and talk me up to others to get me more speaking engagements and increase this podcast audience. Then together, as partners, we will be making a much greater impact than we can on our own. There are several ways you can choose to partner with me. Certainly, telling others about me and my ministry along with prayer is the top of the list. There is nothing as powerful as word-of-mouth endorsement or personal referrals. Buying my books and products is another way. All of my books in my Faith to Live By series were written to help people better understand the Christian faith and how to successfully live it out. Visit my website and get any or all these books with a deep discount of 20% using the word TRUTH at checkout. Supporting the businesses I feature as affiliate partners is yet another way you can partner with me. I seek to find affiliates who can offer you goods and services you need, and I have some very exciting money-saving America First goods and services you will not want to miss out on. Newest to my affiliate list is a company I'm exceedingly excited to introduce to you. If you're like me, you're tired of paying high prices for cable television, and you've been waiting for just the right company to come along who shares your values to replace your cable service. Well, I found it. It's called Q Streaming. That's C-U-E Streaming. They provide over 3,000 channels, including live TV with local stations from across the United States, United States networks, sports networks, movie networks, and pay-per-view events. You get all of that for about half of what most cable companies charge, and there's no contract, just a monthly subscription. Visit faithtoliveby.myqstreaming.com to look around and sign up to start viewing the programs you like for a fraction of what you're paying now, all while supporting a Christian-owned and operated company that exclusively uses word-of-mouth advertising so as not to spend money on commercial advertisement that supports the woke movement. And don't forget, when it comes to your health, I have two different affiliate partners, Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack Supplements and Kappa Health, formerly Mfinity. Kappa Health is dedicated to helping us detoxify our bodies and get to an optimum and healthy weight. I personally love the Java Boost drink, and I think you will too. Check out all the products they have, and be sure to use my promo code at checkout, FTLB, that's for Faith to Live By, to get 20% discount on all of their products. Visit KappaHealth.com. Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack supplements contain zinc, quercetin, and vitamin C and D, which are formulated in just the right amount to help you boost your immune system. Your immune system can be weakened by over 300 different primary immunodeficiency disorders. Poor diet, lack of sleep, and adverse reactions to vaccines. I'm personally taking the supplement, and I can tell you I've been around many people who have had COVID, and I have not been sick. Use my custom link from the show notes, or go to his website and use the promo code FTLB and receive a 5% coupon discount. If you choose to subscribe, you can receive 10% off of each and every month. And regarding your finances, I want you to know about Dr. Kirk Elliott. He's a personal wealth advisor who offers free consultations to understand your personal financial goals and to help you reach them. We are living in unprecedented times, and the economy is one area the Lord has promised to overhaul. Call Kirk at 1-720-605-3900 or contact him and his team using the link in my show notes. I also have a dedicated webpage where you can learn more and hear the interviews I've had with the several different affiliate partners in the vetting process. Of course, you need to do your own due diligence to make your own decisions what to purchase. But to help you, I am researching companies, interviewing their representatives, and using their products or services to provide you with my personal recommendation. When you purchase my books, products, or services, or products and services from any of my affiliates, you get something you want, and at the same time, you support me. It's truly a benefit for all of us. Shop for yourself or shop to get gifts for friends and family. Your support is greatly appreciated. If this ministry has blessed you in any way, why not consider partnering with me in my vision to bring truth to as many people as possible? I welcome direct contributions, but they are not tax deductible at this time. So anyone who sends a donation of $25 or more will receive your choice of one of my books personalized and autographed for you, or receive 5 of the Make America Godly Again bumper stickers. Please visit my web store to learn all about the products and services available through my ministry work. The website is PamelaChristianMinistries.com. On the checkout page, you'll find a button to make a donation. And don't forget about my own award-winning books available from my website. The series is also called Faith to Live By, and when you purchase through my web store, be sure to use the promo code TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, use it at checkout, and get a 20% discount on your entire order. If you like the content and resource material I bring with this podcast, you'll find much more by connecting with me through my blog. In fact, my blog has been awarded 2 unsolicited awards for Christian content, and I'm also very active on social media. I can cover much more on social media than I can with this weekly podcast. To receive even more, please be sure to check out my dedicated podcast listeners page called Beyond the Podcast. Here's where we can connect exclusively, and you can download complimentary devotionals, resources, and more. On that page, I also ask that you help me know more about what you want by completing the form visible once you scroll down the page. You can also subscribe to my complimentary bi-monthly e-newsletter. As a new subscriber, you can choose from 1 of 3 gifts I offer in appreciation for your subscription. Subscribing will make you a preferred customer, where you will receive special announcements and offers not available to others. And by subscribing, should anything happen to my podcast, I'll have a way to contact you to make sure you know where to find me. Depending upon where you listen to my podcast, if you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Spotify, Google, or wherever these features are available. Your review helps the show reach more people and spreads the gospel and helps people learn how to better apply their Christian faith. I hope you'll join me next week and tell your friends and family to listen right here on Faith to Live By, where we learn how to gain spiritual victory over life's issues. Until next week, I'm Pam Christian, asking you to remember, Christ died for us. The least we can do is live for Him.